The next letter of a series of eight in Psalm 119, then, is Mem. We begin at verse 97, and we go through verse 104. Verse 97 reads, Ma ahafti toratecha kol hayom hi sichati. How I love your Torah. Notice the ma here is an interrogative, indefinite interrogative pronoun. How I love. Ahavti is from the root ahav. It is the cow perfect first person singular. Notice the suffix t puts it into the first person. How I love your Torah. Torah Techa. Torah means Torah, and notice the Cha is your pronominal suffix, second masculine singular, and Torah becomes Torat in construct, and the Segol is the helping vowel to get us to the pronominal suffix, Cha. Oh, how I love your Torah. Kol Hayom Hi Sichati. All day long, it is my meditation. Kol is an adjective meaning all, or we could actually translate it perhaps the entirety of the day. And if that's the case, it could function as a noun in construct with hayom. Hayom, we have the ha in the definite article, and yom means day. Notice how yom became ha yom with the dogish forte in the yod, because the article, the lamed part of the article, historically assimilated into the yod. So all day long, it, he, and notice he is a feminine pronoun, third person singular, it is understood, sichati, it is my meditation. Sichati is from sichach, meaning to meditate. It is a noun, followed then, sichach, followed by the t, the pronominal suffix, sichach, becomes sichati, and I, the Hirik Yod, is a first-person singular pronoun suffix. And Sicha has a final he in the noun form, Sicha, and it hence in the construct with the Hirik Yod, it changes to a tav, Sichati, or Sichati. Notice the psalmist loves the Word of God. He says, oh, how I love your Torah. It is my meditation the entirety of the day. One of the things that we have to have first is a love for the Word of the Lord. I'm reminded of Psalm 1, Ki bit Torat Adonai chefso. That is, and in the Torah of the Lord is His delight. Uvetorato yega yomam v'layla. And in His Torah, He constantly mumbles under the breath day and night. So because He loves the instruction of the Lord, He wants to spend His day, all day, in its meditation. And I believe that should be our life. We should love the Word of the Lord. We should love the Scriptures and want to spend our days and our nights meditating in it. Of the making of many books, the Kohelet tells us in Ecclesiastes 12, there are the making of many books. There is no end, he says. And much study is weariness to the flesh. And I think the exhortation there would be meditate on this book, and we could apply that to the Scriptures. There are numerous books. We live in a day and age of of tremendous knowledge everywhere. How we need, then, to meditate on the one book that is eternal, that we should love and spend our time there. We want to spend time with what we love. And that should be God's scriptures, because as Christians, it takes us to Jesus, and we have a deeper relationship with Him as a result of meditation in His Torah, in the Torah of Scripture. The text goes on, "Me oyevai tehakmeni mitzvotecha ki leolam hili." Notice, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are forever with me. Notice, we have, first of all, me oyevai. Me is a pronoun that basically goes with the verb. It means then. It's a comparative use of the men. So, you make me wiser is the way we would translate tehakmeni with the mem than my enemies. And oyevai is from oyev, meaning enemy. It's a participial form. And here it's in construct with I, the pronominal suffix put on plural forms, the pathakyot, a first person singular. So you have made me wiser than my enemies. And tehakmeni is from chacham, to be wise. And notice it's a PL imperfect, second person singular, with the pronominal suffix first person singular in the hirikyot, in the E. And notice here the shiva followed by the pathak, and the doubling of the middle radical in the kaf indicates a PL. And so, you have made me wiser than my enemies. Again, with that comparative use of mem. Your commandments have made me wiser. I should say. They make me wiser. And notice, mitzvotecha is from the noun mitzvah, meaning commandment, and it's feminine plural. So mitzvah becomes mitzvot, commandments. And then we have the cha, the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. And so your commandments make me wiser. Actually, we need to translate that in that light rather than you. So your commandments make me wiser, but notice it is a third, I said a second person, actually it's a third person feminine, PL imperfect with the tav prefix. And notice again, it's singular, which is striking, because commandments are plural. And the thought can be, all of God's commandments form like a single unity in making us wise. Hence, all of God's word is like one great message. So we could say the words of God become the word of God. And so it's interesting, the plural here in mitzvotecha, your commandments, make me wiser. The verb is in the singular. And I think that's striking, because all of God's word works as a unit in our lives, and we need every bit of it. It's like all the parts of the human body are varied, but one human body, one, you know, we're one body, and that's the way the Bible is, the scriptures. And to be wiser than one's enemies means that the Word of God gives us wisdom in even adversarial situations. And so this is another beautiful statement that the psalmist is making. For, ki is the conjunction, le'olam, forever, to the age, literally, the lamed, the preposition to, and olam meaning age, but it actually means forever. For forever, it is to me. In other words, it belongs to me, it is mine. And he, again, is singular. It's a personal pronoun, third feminine singular. And li is the inseparable preposition lamed with the hirik yod, showing a first person singular suffix. So basically, what I think he's saying is that God's word is forever with him. It's an essential part of him. It is always to me, literally. And I think that's another beautiful idea, that as we meditate on the word, it becomes part of our soul. And the psalmist is saying that is what he experiences. And that is what we should experience as believers in the Lord, to meditate on His Word so that His Word becomes a very part of our inner being and is with us, even in adversarial circumstances. And while he's speaking of enemies, we could apply it as Christians to Satan and the demons and just all of the spiritual forces that go against the believer. The Word is what sustains us again, and it is forever with us. So we need the Word of God. We need to meditate on it and spend our life in it, I think is what the psalmist would encourage us. Then in verse 99, Mikol Milamdai Hasachalti, notice I have more wisdom or more understanding than all of my teachers. Milamadai. Notice the mem here again is used to emphasize something more, just like what we saw above. That he's saying, I have more understanding. So it's a comparative use of the mem again. And all, the totality, kol, is a noun meaning unity or all, in construct with melamdai. Melamdai is from the root lamad, to teach. And notice, it's a participle, a PL participle with the shava and the pathak and doubling of the middle radical, and it's in the plural. Notice the I, the pathak yod, is the first person personal pronoun, a suffix that goes to plural nouns, and in this case a participle. So all of the ones who teach me, all of my teachers, Hiskalti, from sakal, to be wise, or to have understanding. And notice, this is a hifil, perfect, first common singular, with the T suffix, from sakal, to be wise, or have understanding. So I have more wisdom, or understanding, than all of my teachers, he is saying. Ki edotecha sichachli. For your testimonies are my meditation. Notice ki is the conjunction for, and edotecha is from eda, meaning testimony. And notice the segol yod indicates the word in construct, the noun eda in construct, and it's plural, becomes edot. So it's a plural feminine noun in construct with ha, the second person pronominal suffix. So for your testimonies are my meditation. The verb is understood here. Sicha means meditation. And we saw that in verse 97. For your testimonies, that which testifies and instructs me about you, are my constant meditation. And notice li, after the noun sicha, is simply the pronominal, the pronoun, the lamed, the inseparable pronoun, followed by the hirik yod, pronominal suffix, first person singular. So your testimonies about you are where I spend my time, and it gives me more understanding than my teachers. I think what he's really saying here, the scripture is basically that which gives him understanding and teaches him more than all human teachers. As a Christian, as Christians, I'm reminded of the New Testament, where the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth, Jesus says, in John chapter 16. And I often remember where some of my teachers would begin the class by saying, the Holy Spirit now is to become our teacher. And so the scriptures make us wiser than all of my teachers. One of the things I think we need to think about is spending time in the Word of God. So often we spend time reading commentaries about the Word of God, which is fine, but we need to spend more time in the actual face-to-face reading of the Scriptures, where they give us understanding in ways that human commentators cannot. And I think this text is implying that by what it's saying. Then, verse 100, Mezek kenim et bonan ki fikudecha netzarti. Again, I have understanding more than elders because I have kept your precepts. Again, we have that comparative use of the mem here, miz kenim, that's going with the verb et bonan. I have more understanding than my elders, or than the elders. Notice, zekenim is the plural noun from zakan. Zakan meaning elder, or zakane meaning elder. And notice here, the im puts it into the plural, masculine plural. And elders would be known for their knowledge, normally in the ancient world. And he is saying, I have more understanding because I have kept your precepts and they have guided me. Again, given me understanding superior to those that are even my elders in knowledge, because they are the ultimate teachers, he's saying. And notice, et bonan is from the root bin. It's a biradical root. And here we have a polel. I understand more than my elders. And it's a polel, a hit polel, first person singular with the aleph here. And notice these polel forms make the biradical roots intensive. That is the ayin yod here. In other cases, the ayin bav, where you have a middle weak verb, since you cannot double the second radical because you only have two consonants, Then you geminate the final one, or the final one doubles, and that's what we have in the hit polel. So the hit polel, it's a hit polel, first person singular, hit polel perfect, first person singular from being. So I understand more than elders because, key here is the conjunction for or because, Pikudecha Natsarti, I have kept your precepts. Pikudecha is from Pikud, meaning precepts, precept, and notice in the plural here we have a Segol Yod, putting this noun in plural construct with the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular in the Cha. For your precepts, Natsarti, I have kept. And notice, Natsarti is from Natsar, to keep. It is the Kal perfect, first person singular with the T here, suffix. So that because I have kept your precepts, I have more understanding than my elders. It is interesting that God's obedience to the Lord's precepts makes his understanding greater than those of his elders. And I think, again, we can say that God's precepts are superior in wisdom to any human wisdom, no matter how long human wisdom, how old human wisdom may be. And we could apply this even to tradition. Tradition is good. It enlightens us. It has a long history. But the most important thing is to go back to the Word itself and let the Word of God and its precepts be that which we live by. Not that we reject the other tradition, but God's Word is superior. Can we say it trumps tradition, I believe. So then as we move on to 101, Mikol Orach Ra, Kaliti Raglai, Lema'an Eshmor Devarecha. From all, every path of evil, I have restrained my feet, in order that I might observe your word. Notice mim here. The mim means simply from. The dogish in the kaf is due to the fact that the nun of the min had assimilated, causing a doubling. Min kol becomes mikol. So from every, and kol here, I believe, is an adjective, every path evil, or every evil path. Orach means path or way, and rach means evil. So from every evil path, I have restrained. And here we have the verb meaning to restrain. Kala meaning to restrain. So, and it's a kal perfect first person singular from kala. So I have restrained my feet. Regel is the noun for feet. Or foot, and this is plural, raglai, and notice the kametz yod is a suffix, first person singular, put on a plural noun. And the kametz here appears instead of the pathak because being next to the athnak, it's in a pausal condition. So we lengthen the vowel from a kametz or from a pathak to a kametz. So from every evil path, I have restrained my feet. In order that, lema'an, in order that I might keep your word. Notice lema'an is showing a conjunction, in order that, followed by Eshmor. Eshmor is from the root Shamar, to keep. And it is the cow imperfect first person singular from Shamar. I will keep Devarecha, your word. Devarecha is the noun from Davar, meaning word. And notice the Cha, it's in construct with Cha, the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So, I've refrained, he is saying, and restrained my feet from every evil way, in order that I might observe your word. What a beautiful encouragement here. His love for the word of God has led him to restrain himself from every evil practice. And I think that we must say, in order to keep God's word, we must separate ourselves from all evil, cleave to that which is good, abhor that which is evil, Paul says in Romans, for example, chapter 12. And so, as believers in our Lord Jesus, as Christians, we must keep ourselves from every evil path. And this is taught throughout the Hebrew Scriptures and the New Testament, in order that we might keep His word. We can't say that we're walking in the light and dwelling in darkness, John will say in 1 John 1. So we have to follow His word, which then, if we do that, we restrain ourselves from every evil way, the psalmist is saying. And we cleave to that which is good, if we're cleaving to the Lord's word. Then he goes on, Mishpatecha lo sarti, and I have not turned aside, or from your commandments or ordinances, I have not turned aside, ki ata horetani, for you have instructed me. Notice the mem here, again, is the preposition from, and mishpat means ordinance or commandment, and here it's in the plural construct with the sogol yod, followed by the kaf, the second person singular pronominal suffix. So, from your commandments, not lo is just your negative particle. I have not ever, is the idea, turned aside. Sarti is from the root sur, it's a middle weak verb, and it's a cal perfect first common singular from sur. Notice those middle weak verbs change in the perfect, and the holam vav drops out. It's like kavam becoming kam. To arise, for example. I'm using that as an illustration in the perfect. We have the same here. Sur becoming sar, and sarti here because of the first person pronominal suffix. So, from your commandments I have not turned aside, for ki ata horetani. Horetani. Notice ki is the conjunction for. Ata is the personal pronoun, second person singular. You have instructed me. Horetani is from yara, to teach. And notice here we have a hifil, second masculine, hifil perfect, second masculine singular, with the pronominal suffix, first common singular in the e. And notice the hey here indicates the hifil, causative. You have caused me to be instructed. And what happens here, we historically had a vav or a pathak under the hey followed by a vav, and that aw became a long o. This is what we call a peyod verb, yara, but it, historically it was a peyvav verb, wa-ra. And that's why, historically, the vav, when it coalesced with the pathak that was under the hay, lengthened to a hole and vav. So you have instructed me. Again, notice the ta showing second masculine singular suffix to this hifil form, and the e, the pronominal suffix, first person singular. The nun here is added as no doubt as a helping consonant to get us to the e from the comments under the ta. So, notice what he's saying. I have not turned aside from your commandments, for you have instructed me. Ata here is very emphatic in the Hebrew. You have been my teacher, Lord, and I've been faithful to you. One of the most important things is to be faithful to our teachers, but above all, our divine teacher, the Lord. And so the psalmist is saying, I have not turned aside from your commandments or from your ordinances, for you have been my teacher, and I want to obey what you've taught me. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He is our teacher, and the biggest commandment is that we're to love one another. And so our goal is to not turn aside from what our Rabbi, our divine Rabbi, our divine teacher has taught us in the Lord Jesus Christ and his teaching of us as his followers, as his disciples. Then in 103, the psalmist continues, Ma nimletsu lechiki imratecha. Midvash Lefi. Notice how, and here we have that indefinite interrogative pronoun, how nim letsu. Nim letsu is from the root malatz, which means to be smooth. So how smooth are your words? Imratecha. Notice the nim letsu is the kal is the nifal perfect third common plural from malatz to be sweet. So how are sweet, we could say, but actually this word means smooth. The idea is that God's words are very smooth as they enter into our palate, like honey. And I think that's the way the Word of God is being described here. So how smooth are your words? And notice, Imratecha is the noun from Imra, meaning word, and the Cha is your pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So your word here, Imra, is in the singular, but I believe it's being used collectively to look at all of God's words. And Cha is your pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So how sweet or smooth are your words to my palate? The lamed here is the preposition to. Chiki is from chek, meaning palate. And it's in construct with the pronominal suffix, first common singular in the e. So how smooth are your words to my palate. we would supply something like sweeter understood than honey to my mouth. Literally, the Hebrew has then honey to my mouth. Midvash lefi. The mem here is a comparative use of the mem again. And devash means honey. And here, it is basically looking at the sweetness of God's word. It's a noun going with lefi, and sweeter than honey to my mouth. Lefi is the lamed, inseparable preposition, and fi simply means mouth. So, how smooth are your words to my palate? And then we supply sweeter understood than honey to my mouth. I think basically God's word is sweeter than honey, even than the honey in the honeycomb. We have that same kind of thought in Psalm 19, where God's word is sweet, and it is actually sweeter than honey itself. And not only honey, but even the honeycomb, or the flowing of the combs, which is really, really an amazing thing. In verse 11 of Psalm 19, it says, "More to be desired than gold, indeed than fine gold, sweeter, metukim midvash, sweeter than honey, and the nofet tsufim, and the flowing of the combs." I guess, really, there's nothing more sweeter, it's the purest of honey, than honey in the honeycomb. And that's the imagery here. In the ancient world, nothing sweeter than that. And so God's word is sweet. Often, in the Jewish world, they will take a young boy as he's beginning to read and put a little honey on the Torah and then on his tongue and say, that's the way the Torah is. It's that sweetness that's on your tongue. As you meditate in Torah, it becomes sweet. It is sweet in the same way. And so we, again, need to look at God's word as sweet, sweeter than honey. And as Christians, we need to meditate on the word of God so that we can get to know our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in a deeper way. And that becomes sweet, sweeter than honey. And all through the New Testament, there's that encouragement to meditate on the Word. Paul would say to Timothy, "Timothy, spend time in the Word. It'll make you wise unto salvation, which is in Jesus Christ," in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And so the Word is sweeter than anything else we can ever study, learn, or taste. And as believers in Jesus Christ, it takes us actually to Him. And there's nothing sweeter than getting to know Him in a personal and intimate way as our Lord and Savior and daily guide and friend, divine friend, the Lord Jesus. So finally, we move then to 104. Mipikudecha et bonan, al kain saneti kol orach shaker. From your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every path of falsehood, or every false path. Notice mem, the mem here, is the preposition from, and pikudecha, mem showing a source here of where the psalmist gets understanding. Pikudecha is from the noun pikud, meaning a precept. And again, it's in the plural with the sigol yod in construct with the cha, the pronominal suffix second masculine singular. So from your precepts, I get understanding. Et bonan. Et bonan is from the root bin, to understand. And again, notice it's a polel form. We saw that in verse 100. Et bonan. And so he uses it again. It's from the root bin. It's the polel, or hit. It's a hit polel, first person singular from bin, where that final nun in this biradical root has geminated or reduplicated itself to show intensification. That which the PL normally does in a triradical root. So from your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, al kain, conjunction, on the basis of thus, or hence, wherefore, or therefore, I hate, saneti. Saneti is from sana, the root to hate. Notice saneti is the cal perfect first person singular from that verb, and kol means every. It's an adjective here followed by orach, from every path of a falsehood. Shaker is a noun meaning falsehood, from every path of falsehood, or from every false way. So the psalmist is saying that basically, as from your precepts, from what you teach me, I get understanding. And therefore, I hate every false way. Again, I'm reminded of the statement we had made from Romans 12, for Paul said, we're to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. We're to reject evil practice, whatever that is, and we're to put our mind and our heart and our life upon doing the Lord's precepts, which is the opposite of doing that which is wrong. And so the psalmist says, I hate every false way. There's a way that seems right, but if it's not according to the Lord's teaching, it's a false way. And so basically we need to focus our heart and our mind upon the Lord's precepts, because they will not lead us astray. They will guide us in the true way, which is His Word. And His Word always is faithful and true. And so it leads us away, the psalmist is saying, from every false way, every untrue way. And so he rejects that and keeps the very precepts of God's Torah, which leads to that which is true and right and upright for what the psalmist should be doing. And we as believers, again, need to build our life around the Lord's precepts. And as we do, the things of this world become strangely dim, as the hymn writer says. And so let us take these great verses, meditate on them, and love the Bible, love the Lord's Word, and make it our meditation day and night, knowing that it guides us in the right way, and it's sweeter than honey to our taste, to our palate, if we make it our love and our meditation.